push through it.
Push through it after we get the beginning understood, and then you take it wherever you take it from there. But I want you to get the understanding of this in the beginning. We're going to turn to two places. Second Timothy 2, and then Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 2 Timothy chapter 2 and then Ephesians chapter 6. Okay, we'll start with 2 Timothy chapter 2. Like I said, I want to spend time on the first two points. And then kind of just, not race through, but brush through somewhat quicker the next two points, few points to just show you a way of thinking that hopefully will help your Christian life and ease up on the demand that you might put on yourself. And it's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. We'll read verses 1 to 5, and it's going to couple where the Lord joined it to me, and for quite a long time I was looking at it in the wrong way because I was blind to certain things God was showing me about a particular word. And we'll look at it in 2 Timothy 2, look at verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, Paul wasn't married, it's a spiritual terminology being used here, in his very close relationship to Timothy. But look what he says here, be strong. How he words this is just amazing to me. In the grace. And as we continue, I want you to just remember this little partial line of a song. I know where the problem is. It's right here. Grace. Thou therefore, my son, be strong. And now, who would have a problem with grace? Every person that's lost. Every Christian that's struggling. Every Christian that's struggling has a problem of being strong in the grace. Look where he says it is. And I think that's part of the problem. That is in Christ Jesus. Wow. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. So you don't have apostolic succession, you have truth succession. It's available to all of us. Who shall be able to teach others also. Verse 3. Thou therefore, now here's the word right here, it caught me, endure. Hardness. The idea was I have to manage the problems of the world and the sins all around me. Endure. I got to endure with them. Hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, look at that combination of enduring hardness as a soldier, a good soldier. Verse 4, no man that warred, look at the battle terminology, entangleth himself with the affairs and the words. It's not enjoying the world, it's loving the world. That's where it's a problem. When you do that, you will be bound. You will be. You're entangled. The affairs of this life. Because you've forgotten, brother, that this too shall pass. With the fears that he may please him. Now, don't you want, after I got saved, don't you want this in your life, that he may please him? Mm-hmm. Who hath chosen him. So not just a good soldier. Chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned. And here's a condition, except he strive lawfully. Now, this is something that I began to apply in my life. And what we want to do is we want to remove a shadowy mask you see on the background on a wall. Lurking behind an infamous soldier group of people, a clan of people that everybody knows and recognizes, a very, very unique, very special elite group. They're in Ephesians chapter 6. They were popularized in the 14th and 15th century. Some have them earlier than that. We just want to get this concept. That's what I want to drive home, the first 2 points. And then we'll quickly go through the others, because you could spend quite a bit of time on it. But it was a small village in the Koga province of Iga, where there was the legendary stories of soldiers that had tremendous endurance capabilities. That were, they trained themselves with the arts. They arose and popularized mostly in the 14th and 15th century. Their name means enduring soldiers. They're ninjas. That's what ninjas are. They were part of the honorable Japanese feudal system. Highly trained ambassadors for freedom. Amen. For the Japanese people. They rank right in honor with the famous samurais and the kamikazes. You know, the Japanese just put out people of that stature. Much of our knowledge about the ninjas sprang up in this time and in this area. But when you recognize 2 Timothy is telling you to endure as a soldier, a good soldier, a chosen soldier, it pleases God. You just have to endure hardness. All of a sudden you put that together and you realize, I can be a ninja Christian. That's what we're going to talk about. Ninja Christians. Because when you have that concept, you will read Ephesians chapter 6 as though that's what God's telling you to do. So that's what we'll look at today. First, a word of prayer. Lord bless, please, just help me have some liberty. Lots of it. And I pray that you would, so that your word can speak to people's hearts. There is nothing here, Lord, to glory in, to elevate any person in here, obviously including myself, Lord. By no means. Help us to see Christ, what belongs to us in Christ, and what you've commanded us to understand, and what it means to be a good soldier, having no valiant efforts of our own that would impress or please you, but a submitted, yielded will, beginning at Gethsemane, and allowing the work of the cross to enlighten our eyes to the empty tomb. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I remember as a youth, I wanted to be a series of things. Never knew for certain what I was going to be. I don't know nothing right now what I'm going to be, except the fact that I'm a Christian being conformed to the image of Christ. I really don't know anything else apart from my understanding of the Bible and the prophetic truths of the Bible that I'm watching unfold. But at one time I used to want it to be a policeman. Not just any ordinary policeman. I want it to be a SWAT policeman. I mean, if you're going to be a policeman, you know, be a SWAT. You know what I mean? Special weapons and tactics. And those are the guys that, you know, they got the weapons and the bangs and the bombs. And, you know, they can spin around in a car and park in a parking space with an inch. They could do all that kind of stuff. So, that's kind of what I want. But then I, you know, kind of faded out. I want to be a sports, any kind of professional sport. Well, primarily the NFL, the National Football. That's the glory. You know, I want to be something like that. Kind of didn't work out for me. I dropped out of college when I was in my second year, and I decided to be a soldier. I don't want to just be a soldier. I want to be, might as well be a Marine. If I'm going to be a soldier, and I didn't want to be a Marine, I went in to be a force recon, the Marine of the Marines. That didn't work out very well for me. I'm kind of glad I didn't. And there was one other thing that I always wanted to be, among a few other things. One, these are main ones. I wanted to be a black belt in Kung Fu. Not just karate. Who wants to be karate, brother? I mean, Kung Fu does the flips and the twists and the dives and the rolls. Kung Fu, they're the humble ones. I just remember when I was a little kid, things inspire you. It was that, you know, that now dead pervert at once I admired, but didn't realize he was at the time playing just a fictitional character. kung fu. His name was Keith Carradine or Carradine, whatever, however you pronounce. It was an American action adventure show. Really good, really cool. He's just a young orphaned half breed, sort of like I am now that I'm a Christian. Amen. Raised in the Songshan mountain range, on a particular mountain called the Shiashi Mountain. Somebody took a particular love for him. You know, Master Po of the Shaolin monks. I wanted to be a Shaolin monk. That's what I want to be. I want to be a Shaolin monk, I thought to myself. Now, all of these things kind of collapsed, but I remember this blind master of the monastery. He never forgot how much that man loved him and dedicated his life for me, and he watched his master die. And he says, I'm going to live my rest of my life honoring that man. He killed the man that killed his master. And not realizing that that wasn't what his master really would have wanted. It was a death to himself that Master Pao would have wanted. And he swore an oath that his motives of going into the world would be clandestine and secret. You see, it's the Chinese version of ninjas. An enduring soldier. He could go all kinds of places, work on the railroads in the cave, never get tired. Wouldn't have to eat, wouldn't have to drink. He would remain in secret, but his morals and his sense of right and wrong would eventually reveal his secret. He was a Shaolin monk. And he would set free those that were in bondage as he encountered different circumstances every week. I just remember every week me and my brothers would watch that. We'd go outside and we'd kick the living daylights out of each other. Practicing kung fu. Close your eyes. Do you hear me? You could just, yeah. Do you hear the noise around you? Well, water's master. Bird's master. No. Do you hear your heartbeat? Do you hear the grasshopper? No, master. How do you hear these things? He says, how do you not hear these things? You know how they talk, like they come up with these rhetorical answers that demonstrate how wise it. I want to be a kung fu master. I want to be a ninja soldier for Jesus Christ. Because the reality is China was just too compact and far for me to go to. I mean, I faced up there, but England wasn't. Not when I joined the military. I practiced on my own all the components of things I thought I wanted to be. Maybe when I get out of the military, I could be a special watch, in the SWAT team, special weapons, so on and so forth. Maybe I can get so fit I could become a professional athlete. Now I'm a soldier of all soldiers. I became a Christian. I got born again and I realized, wait a minute, this is the way all my childhood dreams could be joined together and eventually brought to reality. I could be a good soldier that endures hardness, pleasing God, by becoming a ninja Christian. That was my concept for years and years and years. Amen. I could work in secret with a mask and only give God the glory in those that I let know it was really me who did it. Amen. I'd make sure some people would know. Amen. Because you'll begin to see that that's one of the secret behind the mask of ninja Christians. They secretly want to be recognized. They don't wear the mask so that they're not recognized. They wear the mask so that they secretly can become recognized. Amen. No one will ever know it's me, but they will. Ninja Christians eventually let people know things they're doing. And I look at this in Ephesians. We're going to go through some of the things here and just drive home this concept. We'll begin in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren. This is not a new concept he's bringing here. This is not something Paul is correcting the entire previous five chapters. He's concluding this great and wonderful book that he wrote to the Ephesians in chapter number 6. It's not a contradiction to everything else he just said heretofore. Now that I told you all these things about what it means to be in Christ, now you got to go out there and be a ninja Christian. That's not what he's saying. So I would read it because I was blind like the masters I learned from. Amen. Blind and poo like the masters I learned from. Because right here he said, now Paul, remember, he was a prisoner under guards. He talks about a prisoner of Jesus Christ earlier in the epistle. So what he's doing is he's drawing a detailed sketch that based on the imagination with a metaphorical idiom of look at the Roman soldier, the centurion that has me, and he sees that. Oh, I've just wondered how that soldier that was guarding Paul didn't get saved. I just imagine we're going to see him in heaven. Amen? And I begin to reckon that the chains weren't really for Paul. So it was for the centurion. Amen? He couldn't go. Had to listen. Had to watch. Amen? But I look at this in blind. Why don't you hear? He says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong. Well, didn't the Bible just tell us? We're supposed to be strong in Jesus Christ. This is our stand. In the Lord. And in the power of what? Oh, I could never be a good Christian. Never mind a great Christian. I can't even be a good Christian. I can't even be a halfway Christian. I'm somewhere under the 50% range. Amen? Why? Because I'm looking at my Christianity as my own might. It's in the power of whose might? Oh, brother. This is the conclusion. We've got it. We've got it all. Here's the blinded preface that he's telling people. How come you don't see? Verse 11. This is it right here. Put on the whole armor of who?
God.
None of you. The whole armor of God. This is being dressed and adorned in the clothing of God. All that He is. His might. In the Lord, the armor of God, that ye may be able to stand. And we're going to see the very first. It involves standing. Stand against the preacher said the willies of the devil. It'll make your stomach turn. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This isn't our warfare. How many times do you think your battle is against your flesh and blood? Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The same spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Amen. He says that, wherefore, having said that, take unto you the whole, not just a little bit, it's the entire thing. The whole armor of God. This is God's armor. This is not a denomination that has, you know, the body of truth that you're supposed to get. It's the armor of God. That ye may be able, and this is how He makes you able. See? That's that temptation everybody has. He says God makes you able. That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Sufficient unto the day is the evil. It's every day. One day at a time. And having done all, what's He tell you to do? Stand. I'm going to read you a verse here. It's in Philippians. You don't have to turn there. But you should know by now the difference between a standing and a state. Your state fluctuates. Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Over here today, you're over there tomorrow. Top of the world here today. Bottom of the valleys tomorrow. Go back and forth all the time. Just like that, it can change too. Well, whatsoever state I am therewith to be, that fluctuates. But he says in the same chapter, my dearly beloved and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. That doesn't change. Your standing doesn't change. And so what we're going to begin to see is this armor of God, very first, right off the bat. And this is what we got to get in this concept. Everything else will go a little bit quicker, rather quicker. Stand therefore, he says, in Ephesians chapter, here's the first armor of God. The ninja Christian looks at this and says, I've got to perfect each one of these things in my own life. Then I'll be able to be stand. I'll strong. Not realizing it's the armor of God. This is what belongs to you. Stand therefore. This grace wherein, the Bible said, by faith we access this grace wherein we stand. It's not supposed to fluctuate. You're not supposed to be up and down. You have victory as a Christian. Stand therefore, having put on the armor of God, the whole armor of God, having your loins girt about with truth. Now here's what we got right here. Christians don't want the truth about grace. Christians want to have a part, performing, fulfilling the law. The Bible says, striving law fully. The Bible says we're supposed to stand. Our stand is to recognize we're complete in Him. Amazing verse. And all that I ever get people reading and quoting, it's in Philippians 4:13, is the first half. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can move mountains. Doesn't he say I can move? I can do all. There's nothing I can't do now. I'm a full-fledged ninja Christian. Amen? I'm going to be a soldier of soldiers. I'm going to be a black belt of all the black belts. Not just a first degree, second. I'm going to get all the degrees I can. Amen? That's the idea of... That's what I had going through my mind. Amen? Then I do a little bit of research and I realize, man, I could do anything as a Christian. Ninjas, but I did some research on them. They can pretty much do anything. I read about them and it's like, just about anything. Amen? I mean, I read about ninjas doing long jumps that are just, you know, the Olympics, they got the long jump. What's his name? Jesse Owens did 26 feet and 8 inches. Wasn't broken until just recently in Tokyo, Japan by an American, Mike Powell, 29 feet, 4 and a quarter inches. That's incredible. Used to call it the broad jump. Now, it's just a plain old long jump, amen? But ninjas, they can jump and leap without running. Indefinitely. It's like they fly through the air. Ninjas. So I come to understand, don't sweat. They don't have body odor. They can't be killed. Say, what's that? I say, you're out of touch with reality. If you think the truth is, you can live for God. You can do all things through Christ Jesus. You only got half that verse. Because the other half of the verse says, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Be strong in the Lord. That's not how ninja Christians think. They're kind of blind. Catch bullets in your teeth, amen? They're not mere mortals. A mere mortal can't kill a ninja. Only other ninjas can kill ninjas, amen? Ninjas invented skateboarding. Ninjas can breathe underwater. Ninjas know what the word cool means. They don't smoke, but they have plenty of smoke bombs. They can hide innumerable ones under their fingernails. Pull them out at no time. Ninjas can live without eating and drinking indefinitely. Nobody's ever proven that they have to go to the bathroom. Ninjas are all marble-headed, but they never go bald. Ninjas are as fit can be, but they never go to a gym. They train in secret. They live in secret. They operate in secret. They're clandestine. Nobody knows they're a ninja. They're striving to be the best of the best. Not understanding Christ already is. Amen. They don't put on the armor of God. They put on their ninja outfit. Here's the truth, brother. Nobody can hear ninjas walk. They always know what to say. They just use one word cries with endless syllables. Endless. Just goes on and on and on. Just nonsense. Amen? Don't tell me you don't believe this if you're a ninja Christian. You think you are something you're not. Say, what's that? Anything other than dirt. Praise the Lord. You made dust. It's the life of God that makes you special. Amen. Ninjas can't be proven that they have to breathe. They don't have personalities. They're above regular mortals. They're secret gods, or they want to be. They can run for miles on their hands. Amen? They can bend in all type of positions. They hide under their own shadow and even can make their shadows invisible. Ninjas, they say, when they do push-ups, are really pushing the world down. Ninjas can do anything. Amen? I can do all things. Ninjas don't sleep. Ninjas can divide by zero. Amen? I've even been told the stare of a ninja can make onions cry. Ninjas deserve to be worshipped, don't you think? Amen? That's what ninja Christians think. Brother, what are you trying to attain as a Christian? A pat on the back for doing something above and beyond God, who alone can do anything. Amen? See, you only got the first half. You only got Philippians 4:13, verse A correct. Amen? You didn't get Philippians 4:13, be correct. I think B follows A in the alphabet of Alpha and Omega, where Jesus Christ is every letter in between. Amen. Praise the Lord. You say, what is this? Ninja Christians. This is the problem, brother. The truth of the matter is, you secretly desire praise of men and of God for what you do as a man for God. Amen. It's pride. Wanting to be adored and admired, amen? Desiring to master this armor of God in your own strength, human strength. It's the secret ambition of all ninja Christians. To go and conquer the land of Canaan, forgetting that before you go anywhere conquering the land of Canaan, you have to follow in the footsteps of the captain of the Lord's host. I know Moses is dead, yet he liveth as a fading witness in the cloud, the same way you will too. And when the Bible says your works still follow you, that's what it is. We stand complete in Jesus Christ. Amen? Hey, little kids sing that song bragging about what they can do. I can do anything you can do better. I can do anything you can do too. I can be anything you can be better. Hey, that's a strive. The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. I can be anything you can be too. Ninja Christians, a secret ambition to do. Here's the truth, brother, you're blind. Like Master Poe. You have believed in a fictitional character portrayal of something that's admirable and honorable, and you seek to emulate it. That's what I did for the first, I don't know how many years of my Christian life. I can be a ninja Christian. Now, with that context, we'll go through the other components a little bit more quickly. Ephesians chapter 6. That's the truth. Having your loins girt about with truth. Here's the next thing. And having on. Do you see what it is? Come on, brother. You already have it. Having on. You don't have to go through the frustrations of sewing your own garments. Brother, if anybody, I'm privy to the frustrations of sewing because my wife sews. Their instructions are meant to confuse you. Amen? make you feel stupid. Amen? Well, here you look, and I'm going to put on the breastplate of righteousness. So here's the good soldier, pleasing to God. Endure hardness. One at a time, I'm going to fight against sins in my life. Brother, they call that in the professional world, in your own power, in the professional world, as a spiritual peril, they call that doping. I'll tell you why. It's in Romans chapter number 10. But they have in the professional world of athletics, a medically banned performance-enhancing drugs called doping. And you're not going to be crowned except you strive lawfully. It's unethical, unfair, and unlawful. I mean, we all know about the recent ones, Lance Armstrong and Alex Rodriguez, however you pronounce his name. Brother, you go on, you Google it and find they got water polo people that have been caught, drag racing, volleyball, kayaking, soccer, baseball, basketball, tennis, running, swimming, cycling, weightlifting, skiing, living a Christian life. Yeah. It's in the church, too. And I said turn somewhere. Who's going to help me? Romans 10. It's doping, brother. Now that I'm a Christian, I'm going to put on the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to conquer one sin at a time. One sin at a time. Don't you got it, brother? You have the righteousness of Christ. There's no more sin to conquer. It's your nature.
Yes, sir.
It's not your sins. It's your nature that's plaguing you. He says in Romans chapter 10, verse 2, I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Verse 3, they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto having, see, the put on the whole armor of God. He includes the righteous, the breastplate of righteousness. And brother, you got these secret, you know, ninja Christians going about conquering one sin at a time with all the discipline they can fester up. Christ is the end of the law to righteousness for everyone that believeth. But it doesn't matter how disciplined you are, the flesh is still the flesh. Don't tell me you don't, wow, that's a good Christian. That must be a good Christian over there. Look at the way they're dressed. That has to be a good Christian because they don't have a TV. I'm not going to have a TV. Amen? That Christian never goes to the movies. I've never heard that Christian swear audibly. I look at that Christian, they always seem like they got on top of everything. Let me tell you something, if you take a bum on the street that sincerely asks Jesus Christ to save his soul, and you put him in a church pew next to a brother that asked Jesus Christ to save his soul, a church pew's been going there for years, who smells more?
True.
I think they smell the same. Amen. The savor of God is life unto life or death unto death.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, brother. It's incredible that a Christian struggle to attain a righteousness after they're saved that already belongs to them.
Amen.
Incredible. Did it for years. But I so wanted to be a ninja Christian. I wanted to stand out. I'm going to pray this much. I'm going to fast more than anybody else that I know. I'm going to read my Bible through, I don't know how many times a year, this many pages. Every day I was disciplined. I'm going to do all this. I'm going to fast. People aren't going to know. I'm going to make sure they're going to know. But they're not going to know outwardly that I'm a ninja Christian. And they'd all be talking, wow, that brother over there, that's a ninja. That's a real ninja right there. He endures hardness. I heard two medically inclined persons recently having a conversation. They were of the medical field, at least by way of their conversation, talking about the digestive issues. And not to make a long story short, they came to the conclusion. Get this. They came to the conclusion that 1 BM a day was more healthy than 3 BMs a day. You mean to tell me that how much dung comes out of you? One sin a day is far better than a person that has 3 sins a day. Amen? Defines how healthy you are. Didn't Paul say he counted all dung? Didn't he say that?
Yeah.
Amen? Is that unreal? Is that unreal? That's what ninja Christians do, brother. Don't tell me they don't. Don't tell me you might never stick your nose up at someone because you think you're better than them. Have in the past. I know I have. Amen? Secretly, I'm talking about. Because I wanted to be a ninja Christian. I could jump higher, run further, endure more. Doping. You got to strive lawfully. Christ is the end of the law. It's all over.
Yeah.
Clothe yourself in His righteousness. Let's look at the next one. He says in Ephesians chapter 6. I told you I'd go faster, so I'm going to speed it up here. His feet, he said, are going to be shod with the gospel of peace. I mean, the ability to run barefoot on thorns and still not slow down your pace. Remain quiet, not shouting, not crying, just maintaining an aura of peace belongs to the true ninjas. Amen? Their unassuming role of humility in their quietness. A true kung fu must demonstrate peace and calmness by lightly walking across a strip of rice paper. And when you come to the end, grasshopper, and take these pebbles from my hands. Amen? You say, what's that? That's just a joke. That's make-believe. Don't we think that way, amen? I'm going to discipline myself to discover what it means to have inner peace. Christ said, my peace. See, when this isn't you attaining peace. This is peace that belongs to you. And your feet shod. Brother, you just got to put them on. They're there already. Amen. This isn't talking about, and I'm not minimizing, a burden for lost souls. This is talking about in chapter 4. This is a conclusion where he says in verse number 13, I think it is, 14, where does it talk about the peace? He is our peace. In Ephesians 2, 14, not 4, Ephesians 2, 14. He is our peace. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, we're the Melchizedek line of priesthood, brother. There's no more sacrifices. He's first by His name, King of Righteousness. Amen. Then King of Peace. Amen. Seek ye first. When you understand the righteousness of Christ belongs to you, there's no more struggle. A good soldier isn't about you conquering sin. You know, every time, look at it in Mark chapter 16, I'll read it to you if you don't turn there. Every time you find hardness in the New Testament, it has nothing to do with a lifestyle. It has to do with your heart. Every single time. Mark chapter 16. Endure hardness. Well, I'm going to deal with this sin and this sin and this sin. It's your heart that He's wanting you to learn and discover something. Amen. Mark chapter 16. I think it is. Mark chapter 16, verse number... is it 4 or 14? Yeah, 16, 14. After we appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, He upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. That's what it is, brother. That's the sin that doth so easily beset us. Amen? It involves our heart and our unbelief. You don't have peace. Do you not have peace? How can you not have peace as a Christian? You're trying to be a ninja Christian. You're trying to be some... Either you're living a discouraged life because you've given up. I can't. Or you're living a very disciplined life. Outwardly making others think you have peace when you don't. Because you can't. It's not your peace. My peace give I unto you, not as the world giveth. You know, they're both extremes of the same thing. You say, what's that? Pride. I can't or I can't. Both of them are you. The armor of God has nothing to do with you. It's knowing something that belongs to you. He's prepared a table for me in the presence of mine enemies.
Amen.
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 I go to prepare a place for you. Brother, I don't know about you. I'm going to heaven. Amen. This world is not my home. It's your feet shod with the gospel of peace. It's not reaching out to the world necessarily and having to save all of them, although we should. Witness when God opens the door with opportunities. This is the armor of God that belongs to a Christian. You should have peace because of the good news of peace. Christ is our peace. You don't have peace? It's not because you're not a successful ninja Christian. It's because you're trying to be a ninja Christian. It belongs to you, brother. Your feet shod. They're already there. You know what you might want to think about doing? Taking off your own shoes. Take off your shoes, Joshua. Why? You're standing on holy ground. Now you can follow the captain of the Lord's host. Amen. There's nothing that has to be washed after you're washed except your feet. That's what the purpose of the foot washing is. Back in Ephesians chapter 6, just a few more things. Above all, taking the shield of above all. Oh, I'm going to memorize scripture. I'm going to do everything I can, put up a shield to deflect all. When he come, what was that verse again? What's that verse again? I got it. And I'm going to defend my faith, having these scriptures. Don't get it. I'm going to get it. So on. And so I'm going to memorize it to all the verses on eternal security, so I never doubt it again when it attacks me. And what you've got is Christians like the Valiant comic portrayal of mutant ninja turtles. Amen. Their shell will become their shields. Fighting crime because they believe they have a purpose in this world to combat injustices. And God gave them the ability to deflect all that comes. Just have to remember how to use their shell. When to use their shell. And brother, that's not what God's wanting us to understand with faith. The shield of faith. I don't know how many times you read in the Bible, thou art my shield. You're my shield. I'm putting my trust in you as my shield. Man's not my... You're my... Over and over and over again, just in one place alone, I'll read you the three times he says it in Psalms 1. This is what quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked. You say, what's that? It's your faith. Don't you understand, brother? You're never told as a soldier to fight against sin. How do you like that? Paul said, fight the good fight against sin. Of what? Faith. It belongs to me. Simple belief, you understand the armor of God belongs to me. He says it in Psalms 115, he says in verse number 9, trust thou in the Lord, he is their help and their shield. Verse 10, he is their help and their shield. Verse 11, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, he is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He wants us to remember this. We're getting on to the very next point. Fighting the good fight of faith. Paul says, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Amen? The Bible says love is going to quench all. Love quenches all the troubled waters, so on and so forth. And so you begin to understand and just rest in God, understanding what it means for God's faith to be something you trust in. He proved His word is true at the cross. And brother, we need to hide underneath the cross. He tells us not just the shield of faith, but the helmet of salvation. Now, let me just read this to you. It's in Colossians chapter 2. You know the battle that's going on in your life as a Christian? It's in your mind. We're supposed to put on the helmet of salvation. This is amazing to me. Because they've got supposedly in the professional sports, the Sunday football, you're not supposed to hit people head to head, so on and so forth. And I recently watched somebody that their helmet went bad. And they had to, take a break and go get another helmet. And they got this other helmet, and I thought to myself, the verse in Colossians chapter 2, where he says in Colossians 2:19, not holding the head. See, if you're not holding the head, you're vainly puffed up in your fleshly mind. He says in Colossians 2:18, he says, they're not holding the head from which all the... And I thought to myself, wow, this guy's getting another helmet to put on his head. The helmet of salvation is Christ being our head. What if that man gave me a helmet with the head of Peyton Manning in it? I know exactly what to do when the ball got hiked. I thought to myself, what if I was out there? You know how you envision yourself in the world of ninja Christians? I could do that. It looks easy to do that. Score a touchdown with all the pressure. I could do that. Amen. And you just envision yourself. I've envisioned myself as a quarterback. Getting my head cut off. And a new one put on. What if it was Peyton Manning? Then I could do... My body would do what my head was telling it to do. Would give a sure enough hard try to do it. Amen. Enduring hardness is good. It's the way you think. Thinking as Christ thinks. We're free already, Christian. Your fleshly nature won't let you think that. Your flesh nature is warring against the law of your mind. Do you realize that your natural way of thinking is to think that you're still you?
Yeah, that's
good. Do you think you're still you? If you're saved, you're supposed to renew your mind.
Amen.
Christ is the new man inside you. That's how we're supposed to think. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's true humility. Understanding it has nothing to do with me. It's a sound mind. It's not a double mind that's unstable in all its ways. It's understanding I have two minds. But this is the helmet of my salvation. I'm putting on Christ as my head. Amen? He knows where he's going. Ninja Christians are still trying to find out. Well, what's the will of God for my life?
Yep.
Even your sanctification.
Yeah.
And both he that sanctified, they that are sanctified, are one. Man, to discover that is wonderful. Then he talks about the sword of the Spirit, the weapon of choice of ninjas. I mean, they got knives and spears and sticks. We use broomsticks and, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff that, you know, from the kitchen, from the garage. I mean, it get to be kind of dangerous. I mean, rods and spears and sickles and knee hits and all kinds of crazy stuff you do. Trying to be a ninja Christian, I would do the same thing. Beating up myself and beating up my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
To prove I was better than them. Knocking others down to lift myself up. Amen. Learn, the Bible talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Using that book. Cutting off anybody's head. Amen. So if a witness comes to my door, I am going to decapitate him. Because I know the Word of God. Amen. Christian's got a problem. But that's Goliath in your life. Gee, thanks. Amen. The sword of the beheading and belittling without compassion or sensitivity. Why? A ninja Christian, brother. That's how they operate. Amen. Use that book cold-hearted, not recognizing it's meant to be used with compassion. A true master of the sword can use it with gentleness and precision, discerning which is the flesh and which is the spirit. I'm not just going to use the Word of God to beat people up anymore. Brother, that's what ninja Christians do. Proving to you how much they know the Word of God. Reading it all the time, quoting it all the time, and that's not wrong. Until you use it to beat others up and not to lift others up. God never knocks you down without the intent of lifting you up. The cross only and always leads to the resurrection. But if you don't believe what happened at the cross, you still will struggle to be what you can't be. That enduring soldier. The hardness of the world. Not realizing it's just your hardness of your heart. Amen. That he's trying to get you to understand. And then he closes this concept of a ninja Christian with supplications. Prayers. In the sports world of competition, there's a series that began 2009. The top competitors from all around the world would advance to a place in Japan, Mount Midoriyama, to become an American ninja soldier. Amen. Every summer that's been going on for like 4 years now, it's really, really quite enjoyable to me as you watch the dexterity and the agility and the strength of people and their dedication and their precision. A lot of them get wiped out on that salmon ladder, and I can understand that. I couldn't hold on a salmon no matter what. They're climbing up on this salmon, falling down. But every day that they have that show, it's prefaced with this supplication. Beseeching people to come on out, you try. And they say this, who will be the first American ninja soldier? You see, it's getting people to be something that only ninjas have the honor of being called. And this is what the Christian has to realize. In our supplications, in our prayers to God, he supplies all our need, singular, in Christ. Our supplication is teach me about Christ. Show me a deeper understanding of the cross. We're going to remove the mask of this ninja brother. I recently saw a man that was an avid hunter. And on his wall he had a bunch of animals from all kinds and talk about, you know, some of the exciting stories of hunting. And he said when he was bow hunting, he it was the most frightening time of his life when he saw a lion and he realized if I miss this lion, it could be the end of my life in the next 10 to 30 seconds. He got it and he hid it, stacked it on the wall. Most of all, I was impressed with all the deer that was on his wall. Not one of them was a doe. They all, the trophy of a true hunter, they all had antlers. They were buck on his wall. They weren't doe. Amen. The male. The new man is Jesus Christ. I'm telling you right now, the devil will never put Jesus Christ on his wall. But every ninja Christian that tries and attempts to be as the bride of Christ, you're a doe on his wall. No more than that. Don't forget that, brother, because this is when the mask is really removed. Waldo. I know who you are. You're hiding. Amen. Behind the fig tree. I'd say to myself, when I was a young kid, every year we'd have to go, right before the wintertime, we'd have to go to a fig tree. And my dad would say, you know, great grandpa, he loves his fig tree. We gotta take care and wrap it up and take care of it, so on and so forth. And we've got to insulate it and protect it and put all kinds of layers of stuff over it. And it gets really tight and wound. And then you put this canopy over it, and then another plastic bag, and then another canopy. Sure enough, next year it would be healthy as could be. And just go, oh, how'd you get these figs? And I'd say to myself as I get older, I'm never going to have a fig tree. We have pear trees and blueberries and strawberries. I don't want a fig tree. I'm sick of fig trees until I became a Christian. And I tried and struggled to be a ninja Christian. And all the care I would give to my life of producing fruit, the Bible says they're fruits of self-righteousness, the fig tree. Amen? Have nothing to do with it anymore, brother. This too shall pass. My grandpa's dead, far gone. You will too. Don't meet Christ as a ninja Christian. Meet him as a Christian. Lord, I just pray that you bless your lesson today, driving home that wonderful concept, Lord. It's not a new concept, Lord. It's not a correction of everything Paul said prior to this. It's a conclusion. We're supposed to put off the old, renew our minds, and put on the new. When we put on the armor of God, it's your armor. The armor of Christ is the armor of light that Paul talks about over and over again. Help us realize, Lord, sin manifested in our life is the opportunity for us, when you manifest it, Lord, to put it off by faith, reckoning it dead, and owning once again the righteousness that doesn't belong to ninja Christians. It belongs to Christians who access it by faith, clothe themselves in the wonderful knowledge of the fruits and wealth that belong to us in the grace of Jesus Christ. I ask in His name. I do. Amen. Praise the Lord, brethren.